Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 299 of Geek Tower Radio. We're back this week with Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm very, very well. I can't believe we're on episode 299. This is ridiculous.
So,
what have you been up to this week?
Well, High School Musical, I'll call it just the series, not the full name, because I don't need to read out the series' full name. It came back for its second season. It's had two episodes so far. Now, I'm not going to spoil what they're doing this season in terms of which musical they've picked, but it is something a little bit different, which is cool. Not too much, like, you know, in-depth story to talk about or whatever. It's more of just a sort of, it's a fun show. It has got that sort of teenage cliche stuff in it, which I'm fine with. It's one of the shows that's better at doing that than certain other shows. It's just a good sort of uplifting time, which I think is what we need from TV now and again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you look at obviously things like The Good Place, those extraordinary playlists, even things like Mythic Quest, those sorts of shows that are just sort of good, uplifting, fun. There's like chemistry between the characters and there's comedic chemistry between the cast and everything. So really all four of those shows, I know obviously The Good Place is finished, but the others are still going, at least at the moment. It's just a good uplifting time. It's not something you need to follow too seriously or too closely. It's got a nice kind of basic story kind of going on. You know, you've got some fun moments between the characters and stuff. And it's not just the case that, you know, the music is uplifting and really good. It's performed really well as well, which I think is also an important element to that. It's not just kind of music and dance thrown in. The cast is really, really good at doing their overall performances, because they did this bit of the season premiere and they had this big musical number that sort of went around. I don't know if it was the entire school, but most of the school, and it was like coordinated really well and choreographed really well, and it just sort of hit you with that in the opening season 2 episode, and I thought that was a good, nice sort of way to start the season.
Yeah.
And as I've kind of mentioned a little bit before, I was watching the original Zac Efron films when I was at high school, so they were sort of coming back. And as I kind of said when I finished the first season, because when I went to watch the first season, it was all out, and I was sort of catching up with it. And I didn't quite realize at the time how much, not for the story, but more for the music, how much nostalgia I'd have for the music. And because they're bringing in some more of the other songs as well, it's still kind of hitting me a little bit in that way. And it's just a good fun time, really.
Yeah.
So I've quite enjoyed that. And the episodes aren't too long. The second episode was a little bit longer, but it's just a good time. So
yeah.
Apart from the name being a bit silly.
Yeah. High School Musical, the musical, the series, season 2 is the full title of it.
Yeah. I don't think you've watched any of it, have you?
No. I mean, the High School Musical films were sort of bypassed me. I was obviously quite a lot older when they first came out, and I never really kind of caught up with them. So I've never really bothered to go and watch the series. I'm tempted to go and give them a try at some point. This is the sort of thing that Disney do very, very well. That kind of obviously musical mixed in with live action acting and all that sort of stuff. If anybody can pull this sort of stuff off, it's Disney. So, and the series seems to have been going down pretty well. And I think it's incredibly meta in terms of, you know, it's them doing a musical about a film that they also produce. I mean, it's kind of incredibly meta, but enjoyable fun and teen drama-y and yeah, exactly the sort of thing that Disney does brilliantly. So, you know, it's, I'm glad it's going well.
Yeah, that's been pretty good. I don't know how many episodes there is for the season. It's usually 8 or 10 or something. So yeah, it's not going to be 23 episodes. So.
No.
Yeah. Started a new, well, not a new show. I did my first watch of Line of Duty. I've seen the first season of that. So much talk, obviously, in the last couple of weeks, especially after the finale.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was kind of talking with you about it on Geektown, obviously I couldn't really participate in the conversation because I didn't have a clue what you were talking about because I hadn't seen the show. But so many people just talking about it. I knew it was a short show because that's sort of what these BBC shows tend to do. I didn't really even know that much about the characters, or I knew obviously what the plot was going to be, but I didn't really know who was in the show or whatever. So it was a nice surprise to see Lenny James in the first season, which was good. Obviously Morgan, and he's been a bunch of other characters as well. He did that, was it called Save Me from Sky?
Yeah.
Because I think in the time that I've watched season one of Line of Duty, I've also seen two Fear episodes, which are, I think, of both.
Yeah.
Have they both had him in? I think so. So I've seen a lot of Lenny James recently. one with taking down criminals and one with killing walkers and stuff. So I liked it. I liked the first season. It didn't quite sort of smack me in the face to where I thought it was going to, because there was just been, even before controversy around whatever happened in the finale. Again, I still don't know what that is. was it the sixth season, the new one?
Yes.
Even after all that sort of came out and everything, even the years before that, it was like, Line of Duty is awesome. Line of Duty is great. Line of Duty is one of BBC's best shows. And it gets to a point with that where you think, okay, I'll start watching some of it, you know, and it's relatively short and all that. It hasn't quite hit me in that sort of way yet. Maybe I'll think a bit differently when I see some more of the seasons. There were some parts to it that really, really stood out quite a lot, and obviously quite dramatic and had a lot of stakes in there. The finale for the first season, I thought, was a bit strange. That didn't quite completely work for me. Does Line of Duty have a history of like not ending the seasons well or something? or is it just, I don't know.
Generally, no. I enjoyed the first season quite a lot. I would say it does improve with each season as well. It's good, that first season. I think each season gets progressively better and better as you get more kind of invested in what's going on and the overall conspiracy and the characters, and it grows and grows and grows. And one of the nice things about this is they have quite high profile guest leads who tend to be playing the person that the team are investigating. So you've got the four main leads, and then you have a guest lead who is usually only there for that one season. I think it's quite a nice format and it works really well. Generally, this is nearly 10 years old, that first season. So it's just grown with people over the years, and it is one of those rare shows which does get better and better and better as you go through with it. And I know there was a mixed reaction to the finale, and we don't know whether it's going to come back again. I hope it does, but I enjoyed the finale of the last season as well. And also in season one, it's nice to see Lenny James doing something kind of different as well in this, you know, because we're so used to him playing Morgan at this point. So.
He's a bit like a Tom Cruise. He doesn't really age, does he?
No, not in the slightest.
I'm sure in that first season of Line of Duty, he looks the same as what he looks now in season six of Fear.
Yeah.
So yeah, but like a Tom Cruise. Some people just don't age, do they? They just stay kind of looking the same. So yeah. But I enjoyed it is kind of what I'm coming away with. But I wasn't sort of like, wow, I agree with the general consensus.
I think that's part of the problem with Line of Duty as well at this point, is everybody tells you how incredibly amazing it is and it's one of the best things ever made. So your expectations are incredibly high when you go into it. And I think it's very difficult to live up to that as well. So yeah, I entirely understand your reaction to that first season. Go through and watch the rest of them, because it is a solid show throughout. And I think as you get more invested as you go through the seasons, it becomes better and better, and the twists and turns of what happens to the characters is just really well thought out generally. So definitely worth continuing with.
Yeah. Just a little note on what you just mentioned there. The problem that you've got there is something called recency bias, which is where people will watch the episodes on whatever Sunday nights or whatever, and the episode will immediately finish and they'll go, this is the best thing I've ever seen, because they've just watched it and it's really entertained them on the spot. And we're all kind of guilty of that in some way or another. I think, you know, we see a really good film or a good episode of TV or finish a good game and we think, wow, that was really incredible. This was like one of the best things ever. So it can be a little bit of a problem, but anyway. But yeah, I will continue with the seasons. I don't know when I'll watch the next one, but some point soon. So just wanted to kind of mention in a little sort of bunch, Mighty Ducks, Game Changers and Big Shot. They're two scripted drama sort of sports shows that are on Disney Plus. Mighty Ducks is an ice hockey one, and it's got, is it Lauren Graham?
Lauren Graham.
Zoe's Extraordinary Players. I'm assuming this is what she went over to because of all the COVID mix-up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so. this was supposed to be shooting separately to Zoe's. It's the reason she's not really in the second season of Zoe's. Not that we've had the second season of Zoe's yet, but the reason that she's not in the second season of Zoe's is because of the Mighty Ducks. It's because of COVID, they had to move the filming of Mighty Ducks, and she was already signed up and she's a lead in that show, whereas she's a secondary character in Zoe's. So that was why she couldn't back out of it. So, you know, and why would she? She's the lead in this one. So,
yeah, she's basically the mum to one of the young guys in the show. And the young guy that she's the mother to, he's kind of like the one that sort of pulls the team together. Because the whole thing about he tries out for the Mighty Ducks, it doesn't work out. The guy says to the mum, your son isn't good enough, whatever, don't bother. And then she names this new team that goes up against the Mighty Ducks, the Don't Bothers, because that's right. What Pete said to the son, like, don't bother because you're not good enough to be in this team, which is a very harsh thing to say to a young sports person. But anyway, she names a team after that, and she kind of becomes sort of like the coach mother figure of all the group. And then the young boy goes and convinces some of his friends from school about, like, hey, none of us are really good enough to get into the Mighty Ducks because they're seen as like the big guys kind of thing of the league. And he slowly forms this team, and then over several episodes you see them train and that kind of thing. I mean, to begin with, some of them can't even quite skate, so you see them going from learning to skate to actually competing in games. So it's a good kind of journey, but for all the characters and stuff. And they also meet, I think it was the coach, like a previous coach of one of the other teams. He sort of joins in.
It's Emilio Estevez, I think, is the person you're probably thinking about for
I think he owns the ice rink that they go and train at and stuff. So
And
then she has to convince him you like can come back and whatever. So he's a bit sort of burnt by something that happened in the past.
That's Emilio Estevez, because I mean the Mighty Ducks are based on a film franchise. And the original film was the same sort of story, except the Mighty Ducks were the underdog team and Emilio Estevez was the coach of that. Mm-hmm. And by the sounds of it, he got burnt by the Mighty Ducks and kind of got kicked to the side. So he's reprising his role from that. I quite like the idea of what they did with the TV series, have made the kind of Mighty Ducks as having gone from being this underdog team to being kind of this top flight team. And now they're kind of the a-hole big team. And Graham's running
the
this.
Egos and that.
Yeah. And Lauren Graham's running this little upstart team that are the underdogs. So I think it's quite a nice idea that they've come up with for the TV show. And I adore Lauren Graham. Yeah. I mean, if you've ever seen Gilmore Girls, those ranty things that she does is hilariously funny usually. So it's one that I keep on meaning to go and watch, and I haven't started yet.
It seems a little bit like what Cobra Kai did with the Karate Kid series, like a sort of sequel follow-on. It's sort of a bit like that. But you don't need to watch the old like Mighty Duck films to understand what's going on. Things get sort of filled out. The other one I wanted to mention as well, Big Shot, which is a basketball series. This one's got a little bit of a sort of strange idea behind it. So this guy called Martin, he was kicked out from his former professional basketball team that he coached because he threw a chair at the referee, and then obviously got sacked, and then got moved to this high school where he started teaching a bunch of like young women how to do basketball, which is a big sort of change for him and for the young girls. And the weird, like in those sort of first two episodes, it's a bit sort of like, should he be here? This is kind of strange, but this is what's been set out. Everyone's kind of weird and awkward about it in the first episode of like, okay, he's gone from this a professional big league sort of basketball team to teaching young girls or whatever in this high school. It's a bit of a strange change, and I've never really heard of that kind of happening before. Maybe it's more of like an American thing that can happen. I don't know.
I'm sure.
But he sort of slowly teaches them like his ways of playing basketball, which are a bit more strict than what he's used to. I looked at the way he does some of his coaching and thought, okay, I don't know if some of the listeners know who Jose Mourinho is. He managed Chelsea twice. He managed Real Madrid, and then he almost destroyed Man United as well. And let's just say that Jose Mourinho's methods don't really fit with how the English game is sort of played now. He's not really sort of, hence why he's not with Tottenham anymore either, and also failed there. So he's a bit sort of like that, but a lot less toxic and a bit more modernized. This is sort of like looking at a modern, less toxic Jose Mourinho in a way, if that kind of makes sense.
Not got to watching Big Shot yet, but it's got some good names behind it. I mean, John Stamos in the lead. It's David E. Kelly was one of the creators of it, who's the guy behind Big Little Lies and a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah.
And our old friend Phil Eisler, the composer, he's co-composer for the music for it with Alexis Grappas. So he'll have a kick-ass soundtrack regardless. regardless if those big guys are involved. So that's good.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to mention is Superstore's finished. I hadn't watched it on the ITV pub thing for like a week. I thought, oh, there's loads of episodes out. Turns out there was only two left because the season was a bit shorter. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'll watch just these two episodes back to back, which kind of work as like a double series finale. That's in a good way. Amy came back to the series as well, which was good for the finale. It all wrapped up pretty well, very similar to the way that maybe like The Office wrapped up and that kind of thing. Just sort of like seeing what these people are doing next with their careers and seeing them settled with their families, that kind of stuff. Throughout this whole season, they've all had like masks and things on because obviously COVID and stuff. And they've had a few storylines revolving around that, which are handled pretty well. And obviously they had like at the start of the season, the store was sort of in a bit of trouble because, you know, lockdown started happening and all that, but they needed to kind of stay open and that sort of thing. So it was a pretty good run. Six seasons is I think pretty good. I'm happy with how it finished. You had a little sort of flashback thing at the end where it sort of showed past memories of different things and that. So yeah, it wrapped up pretty well. A little bit emotional in certain places, just remembering certain things and that. So I thought they handled the COVID stuff pretty well with the episodes. There you go. So speaking on that as well, because that was on the ITV hub, there's now no shows that I watch on ITV. So I don't know when I'll next use the hub thing. but in terms of me for ITV, that's it for now.
I barely watch ITV anyway.
Yeah, they've got all those like Real Housewives shows and whatever else, so which I saw loads of adverts for.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I've been up to. How about yourself?
Gaming wise, sticking with Subnautica Below Zero, I think I'm going to stay with that until I've completed it. And I'm just having lots of fun playing around in that game. I've been a huge fan of that game for ages. And now the finally full release thing is out. So just going around, trying to avoid getting eaten by giant monsters and building up a little base and collecting resources and all that sort of stuff. I do love those games immensely. The first one was brilliant. Second one's equally brilliant. Got a bit more of a story in the second one, I think. There are a few more characters in it, which you didn't have in the first one. Really, really good fun. The basic premise of it is you're dumped on a planet and you're looking for information about what happened to your sister. You have to go and collect resources to build out your base, and you've got to go and search out the surrounding area to find clues as to what actually happened to her. And you stumble across some fairly interesting people and interesting locations whilst you're doing that. And to say any more than that would probably give it away too much. But of course, it's Subnautica, so it's all underwater pretty much. Although there are some above ground things in this one as well. Majority of it is underwater, but there's a sort of, it's a frozen planet that you're on. So the above ground stuff, whereas underwater, obviously the danger is that you run out of air. When you're above ground, the danger is that you'll freeze to death if you're outside too long. There's bits of danger and there is a few jump scares and stuff in there, but it's really, really good fun. I would thoroughly, thoroughly recommend that to people. And it's relatively cheap as well. I think they're doing it for like £20-25 or something, that game. And I believe the first game is on Game Pass. So if you've not picked up the Subnautica games, go out and get them because they are really, really good fun. Also outside of TV, I've been reading through the Invincible comics because I got the first five comic books a couple of weeks ago. It's interesting because, you know, I haven't read all the Walking Dead comics, which are also from Robert Kirkman. But it's interesting, having seen the TV series and now reading through the comic books, the differences between the two. And I think they're remixed in a similar way to what they did with the Walking Dead TV series and the comic books as well. As in, there are certain characters which aren't in the comic books, which are in the TV show. And there are changes to some of the characters, quite major changes, such as in the comic books, the best friend isn't gay. So that alters the storyline in the TV show where, you know, they go off to college and there's this guy that he wants to go and date. That bit is different in the comic books to how it is in the TV show because that relationship isn't there. Also, the girlfriend is a completely different character as well in the comic books. So there are key changes to some of the characters, and a lot of the plot points, whilst they're in the comic books, are moved into different places. So the pacing is very different. It actually takes quite a lot longer. Like, I've got the first five books and there are still bits in the fifth fifth book, which are from the TV series. So they've taken bits throughout those sort of first five books and remixed them and compressed them for the TV series. I actually prefer the pacing of the TV series to the comic books. I think the pacing on the TV series worked slightly better. If you're interested in picking up the comic books, you are reading a version of the TV series, but it is very different to the TV series as well. You're not going to have exactly the same experience. So they are worth picking up if you've been thinking about that as a possibility and you enjoyed the Invincible TV series. The comic books are worth going out and getting. Very enjoyable, worth going to look at.
Do they still have that big thing from the end of that first episode?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that still happens.
Yeah.
That's a pretty major thing.
Yes, but it comes in a lot later in the comic books.
Oh, okay.
That whole sort of arc is over, I think, the first three books that arc is in. Obviously, I'm talking collected trade volumes. So that arc is, I think, happens over the first three books. The thing of Guardians of the Globe aren't in the first book at all. They're referenced. Omni-Man makes a reference to them, but they don't ever actually appear until much later. Things like that are remixed. It's a lot more, the early books are a lot more about the relationship between Mark and his father. And so, as I say, it's much slower paced in the books than it is in the TV series. So it's interesting to see how they remixed it. And I think the TV series actually compressed it really nicely into a more coherent story. Nothing against the comic books. They're interesting and they're different, but I actually think the TV series does it slightly better. So I've been reading through those. In new shows that I've been watching, The Nevers, which is the new Sky Atlantic HBO series, which is all available on demand right now. It does come from Joss Whedon, which I know is slightly problematic at this point, but he's not the only person involved with it. He did direct and came up with the idea of it and directed a number of the episodes, but it's got a number of other brilliant writers in it as well. The Nevers is kind of like taking the X-Men, smashing it into Downton Abbey kind of via Buffy. It's a really interesting mix of things.
Hmm.
The basic premise of it is it's a big sci-fi drama. It's set in Victorian England. There are a bunch of people that have developed these strange abilities, which are known as the Touched. People are obviously quite scared of them because some of them could potentially be quite dangerous. Like there is one girl that has grown really large. There are people that can throw fireballs. People that can see the future. There's people that can manipulate other people's minds and all that sort of stuff. So it's your sort of standard array of superhero abilities or super villain abilities. You know, it's the standard set of stuff. What you're following is this orphanage, which has been set up to house these people who are touched and are struggling out in the real world. You know, so when they get vilified or get kicked out by their families, they have somewhere to go. That's run by a character called Amelia True, played by Laura Donnelly, who is also a touched person as well, and she sort of runs it. There are various other characters in there, like James Norton, who plays this aristocratic young man that likes to throw sex parties. It's sort of slightly weird, as it feels like it's this show which seemingly would fit well on something like the CW, and then suddenly there are boobs. It's really strange. It's like they kind of, you know, because it's HBO, of tonally it's very odd. It's like this weird sci-fi show that does feel kind of Whedon-esque in certain parts of it. It's got that sort of humour that you get in the dialogue from that, and it feels like this much sort of younger maybe sci-fi show, and then suddenly you'll end up in a scene and there's people with their clothes off and you're like, oh, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. But then it's a HBO show, and there'll be occasionally somebody will drop an F-bomb or you know, there'll be light language in it, and it's a bit jarring. It kind of feels a little unnecessary, but then it is a HBO show, so there's no reason why they shouldn't do it. It's just it's just jars a little bit with me. But overall though, I have been enjoying the first couple of episodes of it. You've got this sort of conspiracy thing going on, as you've got these touched, which are in this almost Xavier kind of school, which is this orphanage where the people are being held. There's a bit of steampunkiness to it, as there's an inventor involved in there that invents all these weird and wonderful things. So there's almost like a James Bond kind of Q element going on as well. And then you've got one of the Touched who is slightly insane, who is causing problems as well. So there's a sort of really interesting mix of things. I'm only a couple of episodes in. I've only watched the first two. There are 6 episodes in this initial run. There's 12 episodes in the whole of the first season. They've only released 6 so far, so there are 6 more to come, which haven't gone out in the US yet either. So all 6 episodes are available on Sky On Demand and on Now TV if you want to go and catch up with those. But I think it is one definitely worth watching and catching up with. It's just tonally, it is a little kind of weird when you're watching it, and it feels like something that would be okay for a younger audience, and then, like I say, suddenly there are naked people in it, or there's language, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? But it is one worth going to catch up with, definitely. The other thing I watched this week is MODOK, which is on Disney Plus, which is the new Marvel series, although it's on the Star side, because it is definitely done for adults. It is done by the guys behind the Robot Chicken. They do all the stop motion animation for it. It's written by Jordan Bloom, who worked on American Dad, and Patton Oswalt, who also voices MODOK in it as well. And the idea behind it is that MODOK is this supervillain. He's been trying to take over the world for years. You actually open with the scene with him getting stopped by Iron Man, which is quite funny as well. You have him running this company called AIM, but because of all these wacky schemes, he's basically run AIM into the ground and it's run out of money. So they end up getting taken over by this big conglomerate called Grumble, which is basically Google. He gets kind of bought out and sort of ousted from his own company. He also has this traditional family life where he's at home with a wife and kids and all the problems that come with raising children when you're a supervillain as well. So it's just very, very funny. And it's this weird, wacky mix of things. And it's very silly. I did really enjoy the first episode of it as well. It's got some great voice cast. You've got Patton Oswalt doing the voice of MODOK. Amy Garcia from Lucifer plays his wife in it as well, voices his wife. There's a whole bunch of other really great voice things in there. But if you like things like Robot Chicken, you'll know the sort of humor level that it is. And it's definitely one that I think is worth a look if you enjoy those sort of shows.
Did watch it when it came out on the busy old Friday that is the streaming days or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. I tried to not take it too seriously. It was just sort of fun. It's the first time we've seen MODOK in something for a while. I know that he was the main villain in the Avengers game, which had the same AIM company thing in there as well. So that's one of the first things I've sort of seen him in was the Avengers game. But this is the first time I've seen him in like a series thing. It would make sense with the future of the MCU if he was kind of like one of the next big bads.
Yeah, so. Maybe. I mean, it will be difficult, I think, doing him in live action after you've used him in such a silly way in a stop motion animation thing. I think that may be a part of a problem if you actually tried to do it in live action. Plus, he's very, very weird looking because he is basically a giant head wedged into a sort of cylindrical body. So I'm not sure whether that would ever work properly in live action, but it will be interesting to see them try. I just don't know, having introduced him in this kind of comedic way, whether you could actually get him to work in a live action thing. But I mean, it's fun seeing him this, and Patton Oswalt is great. So I will be watching the rest of those. That's fun. So that's all the stuff we've been doing on TV this week. Let's go on to some TV and film news.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We start off with the renewals, cancellations and pickups in TV and film news. Cancellations, Sky have, I think, inevitably confirmed that Bulletproof has been cancelled after 3 seasons following the Noel Clark allegations. I don't think that was unexpected at all. You know, they'd already made noises about the fact that they were pausing production on the 4th season, which it had been renewed for a 4th season, but they've now come out and said it is definitely cancelled after 3 seasons, which I feel a bit sorry for Ashley Walters. in that, but can't see what else they could really have done at this point, I think, you know, other than walk away from it.
Yeah, there's a discussion to kind of be had here about like cancel culture and stuff, and it's been a bit more of a thing in the last, what would you say, last couple of years, maybe? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of this, I guess, political thing about, you know, if somebody says something wrong online or does something wrong to the people they work with, which is kind of the case here, that they get sort of quote unquote cancelled. I get what the phrase is supposed to mean when you say that somebody's been cancelled, which is like they're no longer allowed to like do something or work on something. I don't think the word cancelled really kind of fits with that, because you can't cancel a human being. You cancel things like TV shows or, you know, concerts or Comic Cons or, you know, things like that, to where something doesn't get another season and then that sort of thing. Because we've seen occasions in the past where people have been quote unquote cancelled for whatever it is that they've done. And some of them have then gone on to do other things anyway, like the Gina Carano situation with Disney and Mandalorian. She's doing a film, I think, with Ben Shapiro, whatever that's going to be, I have no idea. But she's great step up in your career. You get fired from, you know, the huge Star Wars show and you end up working with Ben Shapiro, so good luck. But like, you got the situation there. So again, Gina Carano, not really sort of cancelled quote unquote, because she's still working, she's just fired from her current job and working on something new.
Yeah.
One other example I wanted to bring up that I did talk to you about before the show was obviously there was a thing with Kevin Spacey before.
Yeah.
And he had loads of sexual assault allegations against him, that he'd done some things to people in the past on multiple different occasions. We saw him fired from House of Cards, and they obviously did what they did with the final season. Mm-hmm. Hasn't worked on anything for a long time. Now, I didn't look for this news. I saw it pop up yesterday. Kevin Spacey's got a new job. So again, you can't really cancel a human being because they can go off and get another job. So I've now named two examples where that's been the case. Do we want to mention what this role is for? Because it's very kind of weird considering he's done in the past. It's very strange.
It's an Italian drama. He's working alongside Vanessa Redgrave, apparently, and it's playing a detective investigating false claims of sexual abuse against children. And you kind of like, really? That's the thing you want to try and come back with?
That's like the worst role that you could assign him for, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of scripted dramas. Yeah, that was like the thing that he got in trouble for, and now he's been given a job where he's going to play a character that's going to do that same thing.
Well, so, not do that, yeah, but investigating that.
Investigate.
In that area. I mean, that seems like a really odd thing to come back with. Just very, very strange. Mm. But I mean, yeah, it's an Italian film that, as I say, Vanessa Redgrave apparently is also starring in it. But I mean, you know, they're prepared to hire him to do that role. He's prepared to do that role, but that's just weird.
Oh, I bet he is. I bet he's fine with that. Not only does it give him a job, but like, assuming he doesn't care about the fact that it's that role, because
it's just such a weird thing to choose. Uh-huh. I mean, but the other thing you mentioned, the Gina Carano thing, that Knights of the Republic spin-off that they were supposed to be doing, which it wasn't entirely clear. She wasn't announced as being part of the cast, but it seemed like she was going to be part of the cast. It sounds like that spin-off has been put on hold as well. So I suspect she was part of the cast, and then once they ditched her, they decided they just weren't going to make the series. So it sounds like that is one of the ones that has been put on hold for the moment. It's not as if we haven't got enough other shows coming out of Star Wars and Marvel to keep us going anyway, but it sounds like that one probably isn't going to be made, or at least is going to be delayed while they figure out what they're going to do with it. But
the thing I'm just trying to get across is that you can't really cancel a human being because it doesn't work that way, but you can fire a human being from a job if they've done something wrong. And then they can later, as I've just noted with two different examples, they can get a job doing something different later. Whether or not they should be doing that particular thing is I suppose a different discussion, but
totally,
unless it's like a Harvey Weinstein situation where he's actually in prison and obviously can't do film roles or directing from prison, that's a bit different. But anyway.
Moving on from that, another cancellation, which we talked about a bit last week, Rebel, the ABC TV series. Krista Vernoff, who is the showrunner on that and the creator of that show, is not happy with ABC. She tweeted out something which I think was very telling. She actually deleted the tweet, but obviously, you know, once you put it out there, people screenshot it. with Rebel, because of the fact that it's Krista Vernoff that was the showrunner on it, she's also the showrunner on Grey's and Station 19, two of the biggest shows on ABC. A lot of people were saying, yeah, the numbers on Rebel hasn't been brilliant, but given the fact that it's Krista Vernoff who is showrunner on two of their biggest shows, and the fact that it's Katie Siegel in the lead role, and a lot of people were looking at that, and a lot of the trades were going, yeah, well, we know it's not got the numbers that we think it probably should have, but they're going to be quite lenient on that because of who the showrunner is and who the star is, and, you know, it's got quite a lot of high profile people behind it. And then they cancelled it, I think much to the surprise of everybody, including the people involved in the show, because it had only aired 5 episodes at the time. And Krista Vernoff put out a tweet quoting the article from one of the trades saying, you know, well, yeah, it should be fine. ABC are likely to be lenient on it because Krista Vernoff is involved. And she tweeted out, you'd think, wouldn't you? You give them 3 shows during a pandemic, they give you 5 episodes. Cool, cool, cool. That was the tweet that she put out. And you're like, wow, that's like really not happy about that. Katie Siegel herself also wrote quite a long, pretty scathing rant to ABC about the fact that, you know, they were very supportive of the show until the numbers weren't quite as high as maybe they'd like, and then they cancelled it. I think out of all the cancellations over the last few weeks, that has been probably one of the most surprising ones, just because the people involved, I mean, it hasn't even aired over here yet. They haven't even seen what the international numbers, because it's going out on Star internationally. They haven't even shown what the international numbers for it are like. So yeah, I think that was one of the most surprising cancellations out of the whole lot. I did wonder whether she'd make a statement about it, because as I say, she's still showrunner on Grey's and Station 19, but you could tell she's just not happy about it. But I thought that tweet was hilariously funny.
Yeah.
A couple more updates on things that had happened recently. Prodigal Son, there's a little bit of an update on that. HBO Max have apparently passed on saving that series. It is a Warner Brothers series, even though it ran on Fox in the US. So one possible route to save it would have been to move it onto HBO Max. HBO Max apparently have passed on it, although they are now shopping it around to other potential places. But I think if HBO Max have passed on it, that probably means that he's going to be cancelled for good, that show, which is a shame, because I think it was a fun, enjoyable series, that, and I suspect it probably ended on cliffhangers and stuff, which is not how you want a show to go out. NBC, there's still no news on Zoe's Good Girls, Manifest or Debris yet. As I said last week, they're waiting for all those shows to finish all their runs, and then they can decide whether they're going to save things or move things around, or, you know, whatever they're going to do with those, but still no update on those. So with most of the cancellations done, is there anything particular that you've missed out of the stuff that has actually been cancelled?
I think most of the stuff that I've watched has been renewed, apart from, it's just waiting on Zoe and Good Girls now, I think, to see if they survive. Obviously, Prodigal Son's future has been pretty much decided,
I think,
but I think most of, you know, because things like Walking Dead and all those other sort of shows and all the CW stuff usually gets renewed. I can't think of any other shows that like haven't been decided yet that I do watch. Obviously, there's all those like procedurals and stuff, but the two that I actually watched, the 911 shows, both got renewed, didn't they? So yeah, for me, it's just a case I'm waiting for NBC, really. So and then waiting on E4 to see when they air Zoe, and then waiting on Netflix to see when they add Good Girls as a box set. I don't, has the season of Good Girls finished? I'm not actually sure.
I think so.
Whether it's got an episode or two left or whatever. I know that the Zoe finale went out, so I'm just not sure about Good Girls. But yeah, just those two I'm waiting on, really.
Yeah.
Any few particularly?
As I say, I think the biggest surprise out of all of it was Rebel, although I haven't actually seen it, so I can't judge what the show was actually like yet because it hasn't aired here. But I think in terms of just surprising cancellations, Rebel, I think, was the one that stands out. I will miss Prodigal Son because I did enjoy that show. I think that was probably the one that out of everything that got cancelled, we actually did fairly well over here. We avoided most things that air in the UK getting canned. But yeah, Prodigal Son is one that I will miss. Yeah, apart from that, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't really watch Good Girls, but Manifest and Zoe's are two that I'm quite interested in to see whether they do get renewal. sequels, but you know, NBC are taking their sweet time over those. So.
They are, yeah.
In terms of renewals, Amazon has ordered a second season of Wheel of Time before the first season even airs, so they're showing quite a lot of confidence in that. They have wrapped production on season one of Wheel of Time. This is a TV drama which is based on the Robert Jordan series of best-selling fantasy novels. It's set in a sprawling epic world where magic exists and only certain women are allowed to access it. The story follows Marianne, played by Rosamund Pike, a member of an incredibly powerful all-female organization, as she arrives at a small town of Two Rivers. There she embarks on a dangerous world-spanning journey with five young men and women, one of whom is prophesied to be the Dragon Reborn, who will either save or destroy humanity. So it's another one of those big epic fantasy dramas. I know the books are very popular, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like they like what they've seen of shooting on season one, and they've just ordered it straight into season two, which is good news if you're fans of those. I mean, Amazon have got this whole load of really high-end, high-concept fantasy stuff coming up, because they've got this, and they've got Lord of the Rings, and they've got things like The Peripheral coming, and a whole bunch of like sci-fi fantasy things, but they're taking a while to actually get them to screen, but they are in development, so this is one of the big ones.
I think it's one of them kind of trend-following things where, you know, Game of Thrones was the biggest show on TV for a long time, and then, you know, slowly over the course of the last few years, you know, since Game of Thrones ended, regardless of if you like that final season or not or whatever, I'm just talking about the fantasy genre itself. And then everybody kind of turned around and went, hey, we should try and do some more fantasy stuff. Then you got Cursed, and you got Witcher, and you got Lord of the Rings, and you got all this other kind of stuff. And we've seen more and more of it over the last couple of years. But hey, I mean, you know, if you look at one genre and you think, hey, there's a show in that genre did really well, we should do that as well. It makes sense. So it'd be interesting to see how this turns out. And it's always kind of good in a way to see whether it's a streamer or a network to renew something before it's even aired is usually quite a good sign.
Yeah, so. And Amazon are quite good at that. I think they did the same thing with Carnival Row, I seem to remember as well, which was another sort of big fantasy series. They have a tendency to do that at Amazon. They are sort of more concerned about the quality of the show or whether they like it internally than what the actual numbers are going out in terms of second season renewals. Plus, I think there is an onus on them right now to try and get things into second season production as soon as they possibly can, because of the fact that, you know, with delays from COVID, they're trying to get things like turned around so they don't have to close down shows for too long in between the first and second seasons. They did it with Jack Ryan as well. I seem to remember that, I think, got renewed for a second season before the first season went out. So it's nice, you know, that Amazon, I mean, obviously not short of money anyway over at Amazon, but it's nice that they've got enough confidence in their own product to be able to say, yes, we think people are like this, so we're just going to renew it. You know, and Carnival Row was great. I thought they did a great job with that. And, you know, Jack Ryan's been brilliant. So I'm glad that they're doing this. And, you know, I look forward to seeing Wheel of Time when that comes out. SEAL Team also being renewed for a fifth season, but in the US will move to Paramount Plus. Should make absolutely no difference in the UK. It should still end up going out on Sky over here. That's been moved over to Paramount Plus. The basic logic being that it will free up space on CBS, because CBS have bought a bunch of new shows, so they need a bit more space in terms of the actual scheduling. Also, it's quite an expensive show to produce, and you can shift the budget. I mean, I know it's all part of the same company, so it's essentially, it is moving money around internally for them, but it does shift it off the balance sheet for CBS and onto the balance sheet for Paramount Plus, which that helps CBS in terms of balancing their books. It also gives a little bit more freedom in terms of what they can do on SEAL Team, as David Boreanaz, I think, tweeted out after the news came out. He posted the news and said, hey, does this mean I can drop the F-bomb on the show now? So, you know, it does give them a little bit more freedom of what they could do on it, particularly when you're dealing with a military show. It maybe means that you can show things that you wouldn't be able to show before, which I think is kind of interesting, what they can do with plot lines and stuff.
We've seen a few different stories over the last couple of weeks of things moving to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Like a few different shows. So I find that quite interesting.
Yeah, they are treating it very much like one homogenous ecosystem, with things moving around from CBS to Paramount Plus. Evil also has moved across to Paramount Plus. Again, it's another situation where it did quite well in streaming, whereas it didn't do as well on its linear broadcast. So it kind of makes more sense to stick it onto the streaming service instead. So again, that should make no difference in the UK. The second season, assuming Alibi pick it up, should come to Alibi again still, because we don't have Paramount Plus here. They've confirmed that they're moving Evil onto Paramount Plus along with SEAL Team over in the US, but for the UK, it should make no difference. Clarice, which is the Hannibal Lecter show without Hannibal Lecter, that one, they still haven't said either way. So there were rumours that that was going to get moved across as well, but they still haven't made a decision on that yet. The other things that got renewed after the show went out last week, 911, as you mentioned, 911 Lone Star, they're both renewed, and The Resident was also renewed over on Fox, which was all predicted to be renewed anyway, so I'm glad all those are coming back. In terms of pickups and shifting things around, the big news this week was, as we mentioned last week, Fox UK is getting shut down by Disney, which I think has been in the works for a while. It's been pretty inevitable that was going to come because they'd been airing pretty much nothing but a few of the CBS shows which they previously had, and that big box of cancelled shows from Disney which they were using to run things out. And it was difficult to know what they were going to do with that channel, whether they were going to rebrand it and keep it, or whether they were just going to dump it entirely. They went for the option of dumping it entirely. They have confirmed now that The Walking Dead is going to move from Fox UK, because that's shutting down, across onto Star on Disney Plus. So it will be The Walking Dead on Disney Plus, which is slightly weird. It's a bit of an oddity. It's a bit of an oddity because I think that is the only show on Star that Disney don't actually own, because it's an AMC show. It's slightly weird. And I suspect the only reason it's happening is because they'd already bought it for Fox and then they decided to shut Fox down. But they've gone all in with it. What they have said is they have bought all 10 seasons of the series. So from Friday, the 2nd of July, you can go back and watch The Walking Dead from the start on Star and catch up with it. And then the 11th season comes out in August. It will go out next day after the US, as it did on Fox. You'll be able to catch up with it on Star on Disney Plus. And I know there's been a lot of people complaining about this because of the fact that it is now another streaming service that they have to pay for. And I do get that. I'm sorry, that's just the way it's going. I mean, you know, it wasn't free to air before anyway. It was on Now TV and it was on Sky. It was never free in the first place. It was just on a service that you already owned. And now you, in all honesty, Disney Plus with Star is worth the money. It's $7.99 a month. It is basically the repository for pretty much all the Disney produced shows. That includes everything from Hulu and FX, barring anything that isn't produced directly from them. So that's why you've got things like Handmaid's Tale, which is made by an outside studio that is going to be airing on Channel 4. You've got Fargo, which is an FX series, which is made by an outside studio that airs on Channel 4 as well. So there are slight differences, but if it's Disney produced, it will go out on Star internationally. If it's a Disney produced show that is airing either on Hulu or FX.
Yeah, I saw some people getting very, really quite angry about that they had to pay for Disney Plus. I had a little bit of a debate with someone because they said like, oh, I didn't used to pay for Fox and now I have to pay for Disney. I'm like, well, no, Fox isn't free. And they were like, oh no, it's part of my cable package. And I'm like, yeah, but you're paying for that cable package.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite work that you get Fox for free because you don't, because you have to pay for the thing. But anyway, it's going to be interesting. I'll have to change my intro now a little bit
for the
next season. I mean, I'm assuming it will be an 8 a.m. release then, won't it, or something?
I would assume so, yeah.
And then probably with no adverts, which would be nice.
Yes, that will be nice. The only thing that isn't clear is whether Talking Dead has moved across. I have asked that question, but I'm not getting much answers back out of Disney, unfortunately. But I do want to know whether Talking Dead is moving across with Walking Dead as well, because they haven't said either way. The other thing they confirmed is The Orville, which long-awaited third season, which got delayed due to COVID and the fact that it's just a very complicated thing to shoot. That is going to be joining the platform from September 2021. So that will be landing on there, which makes sense because that is now a Hulu series. The War of the Worlds series, which went out on Fox, that is also going on to Star. The 28th of May for season one of that. Season two premieres in July on Star as well. Atlanta, which is already on Star of the previous seasons, the new season of that will also be going on there. So as I said, anything that is basically a Disney produced Hulu or FX show will be going to star on Disney Plus. So given if you think that, you know, you've got to have in the US an FX package, a Hulu package and a Disney Plus package, it's a lot more expensive for them than it is for us internationally to get all those things in one place.
So if you think with Disney Plus, right, not only do you get the originals, which is like the MCU shows, Mandalorian, Bad Batch, all those Star Wars shows, you also then on top of that get, you know, Big Sky and Dollface and all that sort of stuff, you know, all those other FX and Hulu shows and things like that, which, and like some ABC shows and stuff, which is that's a lot of value.
Yeah.
So I mean, I already thought it was going to be a lot of value before when it was just Disney Plus shows, plus you got like back catalog of decades of films and things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of value there, I think.
There is a lot of value there. I mean, it's $7.99 a month and it is definitely worth it, I think. The only thing that we don't know the fate of at the moment is the CBS shows that were airing on Fox UK, such as NCIS, NCIS New Orleans and Bull, and I think there was a few others as well. We don't know what's going to happen with those right now. They haven't made any announcement in terms of them coming across to Disney Plus, so difficult. I suspect if they don't move across onto Disney, if that is outside their remit and they haven't picked up the new seasons of it, I suspect what you'll probably see is maybe NCIS moving to Sky along with the other NCISOs. Bull may be moving across onto something like Five USA because CBS, Viacom own all the Five channels. I mean, it's not like they haven't got somewhere that they could air them over here. It's just, you know, at the moment they appear to be homeless unless Disney come and confirm that they are moving those across as well. But I rather suspect they won't and they'll end up going somewhere else. One of those Hulu series that we mentioned, which is made by an outside company, Nine Perfect Strangers, which is the not a follow-up to Big Little Lies, but it's exactly the same production team that were behind Big Little Lies, including David E. Kelly and Nicole Kidman. That Nine Perfect Strangers series, again, it's based on a book by the person that wrote Big Little Lies. So basically all the same people involved, but entirely different subject matter. That is going to premiere 18th of August on Hulu in the USA. It's been picked up by Amazon Prime globally. So as I mentioned before, outside agency, which is why it's not going to air on Disney Plus, but Amazon have picked that up. We don't know exactly when that's going to air. We don't know whether it's going to air next day or whether they're going to save it as a box set, but it'll be sometime after it airs in the US, which is the 18th of August. Amazon Prime have also picked up the British remake of Call My Agent, which we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think. This is the remake of the French series, which airs on Netflix. So, I mean, you know, there was somebody at Amazon that was really rubbing their hands together when they picked this up because it's like a big screw you to Netflix. Netflix made the French series a really, really big international hit. This is about a Parisian talent agency where the staff find themselves scrambling to keep their clients happy and the company afloat after the sudden death of its founder. They're making a UK version, which comes from John Morton, who is the person behind W1A in 2020. So that gives you a kind of idea of the type of humour involved. Some of the cast involved are people like Jack Davenport, Linda Leonard, Maggie Steed, Tim McKinney in there, and Jim Broadbent. There's some great names involved in the cast. So they're obviously moving the action from Paris to London. It's going to retain the essence of the Friends series, but he's going to be kind of more Morton's kind of unique British sensibility to it. And they're going to introduce some new storylines, which are possibly more appropriate as well for a British audience. I think this sounds like it's going to be a really, really fun series. There are some guest spots in it because obviously it's dealing with celebrity talent agencies. So they've also announced that Helen Bonham Carter is going to be one of the people. Olivia Williams is going to be involved as one of the guest spots, and Kelly MacDonald as well is also going to be one of the guest spots, but they're going to have a bunch more famous faces that just pop in for like scenes or episodes or stuff. I'm very much looking forward to that, and I'm glad it's actually got a home now, because they announced they were filming it in London a couple of weeks ago, and now it's gone to Amazon Prime UK, which I think is a great place for it. Also, the Friends reunion, they've announced that that is landing on Thursday, the 27th of May at 8 p.m. on Sky One, although it will be available on demand from 8 a.m. It's basically going out the same day as the US, so you'll be able to watch it from 8 a.m. on the Thursday, the 27th of May. That's the Friends the Reunion, which is a sort of chat thing with all the cast back together for the first time, talking through episodes, and there's a script read through as well and stuff, so that looks like it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I saw the little trailer for it, which I think you can go and watch on Sky as well. It looks like it's going to be a good time. Glad that Sky sort of acted fairly quickly and now announced that they'd picked it up, and like same day almost, and like a pretty good time for it and stuff. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be good. That's on Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's this Thursday that they've picked that up for, and you'll be able to go and find it on demand from 8 a.m. they've said, on Sky On Demand and on Now. So great place to go and get that. Moving on to some other news stories, Batman and Superman are getting new animated series. The Batman series comes from Bruce Timm, who is the person behind Batman the Animated Series, or one of the main people behind Batman the Animated Series, which was absolutely fantastic. The new series is going to be called Batman Cape Crusader. J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves are also exec producing it, which I thought was quite interesting. The series utilizes state-of-the-art animation techniques and technologies available. This powerful creative partnership will once again reinvent Batman and his iconic Rogues Gallery with sophisticated storytelling, nuanced characters, and intense action sequences, all set in a visually striking world. So it's going to be an animated series. It's not, by the sounds of it, going to be a children's animated series. This does sound like it's going to be a proper adult animated series. I mean, Batman the Animated Series technically was a children's show, but it was a lot more adult or sort of generally orientated than just being a children's show. And I mean, it was superb, that. So it's interesting that they've got not only Bruce Timm involved, who was fantastic on the animated series, having J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves involved. Matt Reeves, of course, he's doing the Batman movie. J.J., as far as we know, isn't directly involved in Batman projects, but he is doing other DC things and overseeing other stuff at DC. I think the Green Lantern series he's got some involvement in, and Justice League Dark series he's definitely doing for HBO Max. So this will be going out on HBO Max in the US and Cartoon Network, I think they said. I'm just going to be very interested to see what they come up with for this. Given the people involved, I think that could be a really interesting one.
Yeah, I'm really liking the idea of what they've got here, the people involved. I mean, JJ kind of does a bit of everything, doesn't he? He's done what, Star Trek, he's done Star Wars, now he's doing Batman. Wasn't he on Lost as well? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
So he's done a bunch of stuff in different places. So it's great that all this sounds really good now. We just need a UK home for it.
Yeah, we do.
Which is all good in saying, like, okay, we'll figure that out later. But the sooner the better if we get that sorted out. Obviously, it's a bit early yet, but better to get that sorted out sooner rather than later. But yeah, some really good names attached to it. This could be like maybe a sort of modernized version of the animated series, which I've seen some of, by the way. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen a good sort of chunk of it, which was quite good. But I'm looking forward to it. Just like I can see it.
Yeah, definitely. The other one, the Superman series, is sounding like very much more a kid's show. That's actually been given a 2-season order. It's called My Adventures with Superman. Oh. It's a all new kids and family animated series following the action-packed comedic and romantic adventures of Superman and Lois Lane. Catches up with 20-somethings Clark Kent, the bright and driven Lois Lane, and the best friend Jimmy Olsen as they begin to discover who they are and everything they can accomplish together as an investigative reporting team at the Daily Planet. The serialized coming-of-age story, we follow Clark as he builds his secret Superman identity and embraces his role as a hero of Metropolis and perhaps the world. Lois, now growing into a star investigative journalist, takes the aspiring photographer Jimmy Olsen under her wing, all while Clark and Lois are falling in love, sharing adventures, taking down bad guys, stumbling over secrets, and discovering what it means to be Superman and Lois Lane. Jack Quaid is voicing Superman in this, and Alice Lee, who might not be the name you recognise, but she played Emily, the wife of Zoe's brother in Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, she is voicing Lois Lane in the series. So decent voice cast, I think. That does sound like it's far more aimed as a sort of kids TV show, but sounds like it could be quite fun.
Sounds like a good idea. Again, we'll see where it ends up over here. It would kind of make sense. I saw a lot of people saying, hey, you know, you've announced the Batman one, Superman one, that's all great. How about if you did a Wonder Woman cartoon as well, kind of complete the trinity would be maybe a good idea. We'll see if they do that maybe later down the line. But yeah, it sounds like a definitely more family friendly oriented sort of series, which is cool. So yeah, both of these sound like pretty good ideas.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to those. Again, we don't know where they'll end up over here. They are HBO Max series, and we do have a Cartoon Network over here. So, but I think there's sort of different rights and stuff going on with that. We'll see where they end up. Obviously, the Harley Quinn series was sold to E4, and then they kind of forgot about the second season. So we'll see what happens.
Moving forward.
So those are being made for HBO Max in the US anyway. So we'll see where they land. And lastly, Peacock has handed out a series order to Vampire Academy from Julie Plec. And if you think Julie Plec why do I know that name? She is the person behind all the Vampire Diaries series. So Vampire Diaries, the one that hasn't aired over here, and the originals. She's behind that sort of trilogy of series. Vampire Academy is completely unconnected to those. In fact, apparently it's been a personal favourite of Julie Plec since the early 2000s, way before she started writing the Vampire Diaries. And she signed this deal with Universal TV, and they said, well, what project would you like to work on? And she immediately said Vampire Academy was one thing that she wanted to work on. If you don't know the books, because they are based on novels by Rachel Mead, it's a story of romance, friendship, death, sex and scandal in a world of privilege and glamour. Two young women's friendship transcends their strikingly different classes as they prepare to complete their education and enter the Royal Vampire Society. The serialized and sexy drama combines the elegance of aristocratic romance and the supernatural thrills of the vampire genre. So that's the setup for it. You might be familiar with the Vampire Academy because there was a movie made of it, although it had Zoe Dench in the lead role, and it bombed, complete commercial flop, and was just critically panned. So hopefully the TV series is going to be vastly superior to that version of it. Really, I mean, Julie Plec being involved, Magritte McIntyre is the other person that's actually co-showrunning it with her, who also worked on all the Vampire Diaries things as well. So, I mean, it's not like they don't know the genre very well. Mm. And although I know it's a separate vampire thing to the other vampire universe she created it for CW, I could see why maybe Peacock jumped on this. And I'm kind of interested to see what she does with it.
Yeah, seems like something she's wanted to do for a while, which is good now that it gets a chance to happen and everything. Obviously, she's got experience with the genre itself, like we've said. I myself, I know I've said obviously on multiple occasions I'm a big zombie fan. I really don't like vampire stories, like, at all. Vampires just never really sort of worked for me. I mean, I've seen some of the Twilight films and that sort of thing. Not that I ever think about those or remember much from them, but that's about as much as I've seen from vampires. I just, the idea just doesn't quite work for me. But I know obviously there's the audience out there for it, all the Vampire Diaries fans and that whole franchise. So there's probably more for them than it is for me, which is fine. But yeah, seems like a good fit anyway. So
we'll see where that goes. Obviously, it's Peacock in the US, which is the NBC streaming service, which means it's likely that it might end up on Sky over here, but that is not guaranteed because there isn't an automatic deal between those two. It's just they both share a parent company in Comcast. So they tend to trade shows quite a lot because it's a lot easier for them to do that than not. And it's cheaper because it's all part of the same company. So I would suspect if this is going to land anywhere in the UK, it's probably Sky One, but we'll have to wait and see for that. That's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. We have season 2 of Breeders, which was a wonderfully fun comedy. Martin Freeman and Daisy Haggard in a comedy about the trials and tribulations of parenting. It's from some of the people behind Veep. It's very, very, very funny. 27th of May, that is landing on Sky One. I think they're dropping it as a box set on Now and onto Sky On Demand as well. So you'll be able to go and watch that. If you're a fan of Friday Night Dinner, they are doing a special evening for that due to the sad passing of Paul Ritter, who played Dad on the series. They're doing a sort of evening celebration of Friday Night Dinner. So that is going to be on the 28th of May, starting at 9 p.m. There is going to be a bunch of background stuff. They're showing particular episodes, and obviously it's to celebrate the life of Paul Ritter. So if you're a fan of the show, that's going to be a nice tribute, I think, and one worth going to watch. Lucifer returns for the second half of its fifth season. That's on the 28th of May as well. That obviously Tom Ellis back as Lucifer. Had God show up in the series, I think, this time around as well. So
is that the last season?
No, there's one more season after this, I think. So they've got the second half of this. They have shot it all now. They are done with it. It is finished, but they've got the rest of the season to do, and then there will be a sixth season as well. So that will be it. Rebel, as we were talking about earlier, the now weirdly cancelled Rebel, that's 28th of May. That lands on Star on Disney Plus. So you'll be able to see what it's like. Bear in mind, it is cancelled after one season, unless ABC randomly changed their mind, but Yeah, I still don't quite get why that was cancelled, but I'd be interested to see it because I do love the people involved in it. And it's based on the life of Erin Brockovich, the activist, and it stars Katie Segal as Annie Rebel Bellow, who is legal advocate, and it's sort of her taking on that kind of role. And then on the 30th of May, we have MacGyver and SWAT returning. MacGyver for the fifth and final season, although not if the people behind the Save MacGyver campaign have anything to do about it. The Save MacGyver campaign has sent something like 1.4 million paperclips to CBS as a protest about the fact that the show had been cancelled. Paperclips obviously being a big thing for MacGyver because it's one of the things he used to MacGyver things. 1.4 million paperclips apparently they've sent to the CBS offices to voice their displeasure at it. Yeah, fifth and at the moment final season of MacGyver, 30th of May at 9 p.m. that lands, and then that will be followed by the fourth season of SWAT on Sky One. That's on the 30th of May at 10 p.m. and then the last episode of NCIS LA moves to 11 for that evening as well. If you're wondering what happened to that, that's going to be airing after those two. That's everything for this week. If they want to find more of you, where can they find you?
You can find me on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, video games, films, main night podcast. The season's now sort of finished. There's a big cup final on Wednesday. So by the end of Wednesday night, I'll either be happy or a little bit sad, depending on what happens. So you can find me over there. It was cool to hear Robert on last week's show as well. That was really, really good to hear you two talk about different, especially like from his perspective as well, the whole like indifference with just all the different weird TV stuff was cool to hear about as well. I do stream on Twitch fairly regularly. I'm doing a Last of Us 2 thing at the moment as well as Twitch, eTalk UK. Hopefully at the end of next week, which I think is the 4th of June, I'll hopefully be able to finally see A Quiet Place after being delayed for 14 months. So hopefully that will happen. So it's been a very long wait. But you can find me entertainmenttalk.org and Twitch, eTalk UK for all that.
And also over on Twitch, you can, of course, go and find Bex. She is on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's BYTES for all the streaming, which is going on pretty much daily and various evenings as well. Go and check out her streaming over there because it's hilariously funny and really entertaining. So that's twitch.tv/TristaBytes, BYTES. Daryl, you can go and find over on HollywoodNorthNews.net for all the TV series you love shot in Canada. And Grey, you can find on Twitter at Grey the Geek. That's Grey with an A. Go and find him over there. You can follow along and see what he's been watching and talking about over there. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.